Good morning and welcome to Mornings with a Stranger, episode 46. Thank you so much for listening. Definitely check us out on Facebook at Mornings with a Stranger. That's the @ Mornings with a Stranger, no spaces. Also, subscribe to iTunes, and it would be fantastic if you left a review. That would be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Subscribe and leave a review. Thank you so very much. I just read an interesting article from The Week magazine, and I'm not sure what the publication date was, but sometime in February. Basically, the article is about Swedes, people from Sweden, having a guilt trip over international travel. And kind of interesting, and lots of really good points were made that we could all take note of. The point being that there is a lot of awareness of climate change and a lot of people doing a lot of things and talking about how they're conserving whatever that might be. Like, some examples they were giving is, you know, we're not using plastic and we want to eat vegetarian, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But then we go take these big trips. And I think it was to Thailand that they were using as an example that a lot of people go to, and the amount of emissions that it takes one person to go to Thailand ends up being about the same as what a car would spew throughout a whole year. They didn't go through the details to breaking down those stats exactly, but that's basically what they were saying. And a lot of it is talking about the airplane travel and how much is spent to go overseas. And then, you know, how many cabs one takes and the other city, the destination city. Which I thought, again, it's something that people don't really think about a lot. And I've known some folks who are very conscientious about their conservatism and have means to travel, but make the choice not to do it too much or too thoughtlessly because of the amount of emissions and all of that that it does emit, I guess. And the point they also make in the article is that one person making changes does not really do a whole lot, that it's a mindset of shift that needs to happen for everybody to do something different. And an infrastructure needs to be in place so people can make better choices. And in the Sweden example, they were basically saying how easy it is to make international travel plans on a plane, and everything connects. All of the website is designed to connect so you can figure out different airlines if you have to, but it's all smooth. It's a one-stop shop. You don't have to go to 17 airlines, or you don't have to choose an airline, but it's easy. And they talk about the trains, that there used to be trains in Sweden that would go from various places, you know, overnight rides, less expensive. And now, and they gave some specific examples of now going from Sweden to X place, it costs more money than an airplane ticket. And the fact that it isn't easy, the not only infrastructure, and I don't, they didn't address the infrastructure too much of the actual physical infrastructure of the trains, but they talked about the websites and the ability to make reservations to get various trains to go from point A to point B is not easy. They don't all interconnect. So it's just not an easy thing to do. It could be an easy decision, but it's not been made easy. And I think that's interesting because I don't know a whole lot about the rail system in Europe, but I know I've heard people who have ridden it in the past say that it's not as easy in getting, like, kind of those day passes, or the travel from point A to point B across Europe isn't as easy as it used to be, which is sad because it's a really interesting way to be able to explore. And it sounded like it was so easy. You just get a Europass or whatever and you go. And how cool is that for everybody, I would think, be it visitors, be it people who live there. And I think about that for the US a little bit, and how we have such a negative, and this isn't exactly everywhere, but we have such a negative attitude about people riding trains, buses, etc., be it bus lines like Greyhound Jefferson, or be it trains, not so much. We still have the romanticism, I think, of the trains. And those tickets, again, here in the US are not cheap either if you want to Amtrak it from point A to point B. So I don't fully know. I haven't done a lot of research just lately, but I remember looking up something not a huge amount of time ago where it kind of had that feeling of, okay, this again isn't just an easy choice. So I don't know if we're paying for the romanticism of the train or if it's a kind of an elite thing. I'm not really sure. Maybe it's the cost. And obviously gas prices have gone up and things like that, and regular bus and shuttle tickets have gone up. But we have this negative attitude if you ride the Greyhound or whatever, that you maybe don't have other options or whatever, instead of thinking about it on a sustainability level, making the choice of, I don't need a car, maybe on the other end, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, one could look at, well, we have Uber and all of those choices. Is that a better sustainable option than driving your own car? I don't know. I guess it depends on how far you're going on the bus that's already running, and then how much you're using your car in the new place or using your Uber in the new place. But it's also, it's like I say, it's the attitude that kind of comes across that discourages people. I know I live in a city that there's this desire to have more people ride the bus, but they really don't design it in such a way to make it so user-friendly. Of course, the amount of time when it's a 20-minute car ride or a 15-minute car ride and it takes you an hour and a half to 2 hours to get there on the bus, it's a rare choice that somebody is going to say, hey, I'll ditch my car and make this other choice. And then there's just sort of this attitude in some cities that is sort of the buses are nice things that we do for poor people and don't actually promote them in ways that could benefit everybody. I had a discussion with somebody at our own bus system, and we were discussing, like, in LA, when I was out in LA years ago, and I'm assuming this is still the case, I hope so, because I thought this was awesome, that you could have the advertisements for places, like for advertisements for stores. They would say exactly what bus lines they were very, very near. And I suggested that. I'm like, well, why not? Like, if nothing else, just educate people, make it a little bit easier, have the shop owners be able to know a little bit more about what goes by their place. And it was very much that, yeah, they don't want to do that because of the clientele. And it's kind of like, okay, well, raise the bar, man, on your clientele. Where's the problem coming from? And in my own particular city, some of it is that we have, we're getting better, but we have had really bad information. So if you have people who aren't held to a standard, and from my experience complaining about my bus people, complaining about bad information and not having it resolved really, or understood, if you're allowing that to happen, people with cars, they try to take the bus. They get screwed a time or two by incorrect information, incorrect where to get on and off. And our particular bus system where I live is a very confusing system with multiple numbers that are the same bus. So it's understandable that if you're not going to ride it a lot, or you're not going to have a consistent route, you're probably going to go, yeah, this is just too much work. And if I can't get accurate information. And I realize that in some ways it sounds like I'm going far from the international travel to the bus travel. But I think the bridge that can be made that I think the article makes a little bit, A, in the U.S., there's a lot of things we could, again, listen to what this exactly is talking about, and it's the attitude. It is the bridge of looking at these different systems of how do we see international travel, why do we do it because we can, I have the money, so therefore I shall, and then looking at the attitudes we have towards buses and people using systems that are already in place who are... We look at a lot of people, you take the bus because you have to, instead of making the choice to say, I'm going to take the bus because it's convenient or it's available or it's already running. Again, bus systems need to help make it available too, and easy, and help. That needs to shift too. But can people, if they work hard to be conserving in all of these different ways, is that one more way they can make a little bit of a different step up, be an example, take the bus a little more when you can, kind of thing, and get involved with that, with those systems on our city levels to make them more usable and more friendly and change the attitudes around them if the attitude is kind of negative around bus travel. It was fun. I had an opportunity to have conversations with a couple people who live one in LA and one in New York who were visiting my city, and they both were very much pro transportation. Like, well, why not just use it? I was very surprised when I happened to meet the guy from New York who was waiting to figure out how to get the bus back to his hotel. And I was just kind of surprised. And he was like, well, the bus is running. It goes right by my hotel. Why not? There's no reason to get a cab. There's no reason to have somebody get me a car, which was just very cool to see. It's nice to see that somebody who he had a bit of status and could have gotten a car didn't. And just like, no, this is no big deal. Let's just do it this way. We tend to hold the people from LA, New York, in kind of sort of a high esteem of, oh, you live in LA, you live in New York. And seeing them sort of be the example of taking transportation differently or walking where they wanted to go was just kind of cool to see. And again, good example, living out what you believe and what you do in your own city as well. So clearly this article brought up a lot of things, and I realize this is long, and I apologize because there's just a lot of different factors that are their own separate discussions, but I appreciated the fact that this article was kind of connecting them and bridging them and connecting them instead of putting everything in their own silo. Oh, international travel, you shouldn't do that. Be conservative. And oh, buses, it should be easier for people to take trains or whatever, again, in Sweden. But the point being is that they were kind of connecting the whole concept. And I appreciate that. I think we get sometimes stuck in our silos of thinking and solving a problem in that silo, and we're not looking at the bridge and how we do it in a real way. And so I appreciate the Swedes and their perspective. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful day.